I see Bonnie got jokes, too.
Yeah, that's good.
Hey, good job, Bonnie. I appreciate the jokey joke.
The fear just overtakes you, Douglas.
Hey, dog, I grew up in the Jaws era, so y'all can back up off me, Bonnie.
All that says is you're kind of old.
Hey.
I grew up in the Jaws era, the 70s.
Jaws had everybody terrified. I'm okay with that. I'm okay with living in this space.
Yep. I grew up in the Jaws era. Oh, yeah. The 70s.
Yeah.
Welcome back. Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio. We're live today from the Team 62 Beer Bowl with all the money and the proceeds going to the Eagles Autism Fetish. If you want to donate, I know a lot of people came down yesterday to Ocean Drive, maybe couldn't make it. If you want to donate, our social media pages at WIP, Twitter, Instagram, have the link to donate to Team 62 and, of course, the Eagles Autism Foundation. 215-592-9490. We're going to get back to everyone's phone calls here on the Phils, because I really do believe and I feel that this is different. It feels different to me what is going on with this baseball team compared to what has gone on the last few years. You know, Hater Hugh over here not signing off on any of this. We'll get back to your phone calls, but right now we're going to bring on a guest, a name you know well, and a player that was a good one here in Philadelphia on the defensive line. Bo Allen sitting down with us here. Bo, how are you, man?
Hello, friends. Good morning.
Hey, Bo, I got a question, man.
Hit me.
I like your outfit.
Yeah.
I like the choice. I need two things from you.
Okay, hit me.
I need to know where you got it from because I want one. And do they have longer shorts? Because them shorts.
I could actually go shorter. Yeah, this is a 4.5-inch inseam.
Bo,
Kelsey's got a 2-inch inseam.
Wow.
No, Bo, yeah. Bo. We're big guys. Okay? I mean, you're doing your thing, but we got to get them shorts just a little bit longer.
Well, I got this from Chubby's, one of our lovely sponsors. I think the short length is good. You know, it could be shorter.
You're advertising. You and Kelsey are definitely advertising.
Yeah, we have more, so we got a whole bag.
I think you want some.
I got to get a fit, dog. I like the fit. I do like the fit.
I got you. I'll introduce you to Travis from Chubby's.
Yeah,
he's got a whole bag.
Yeah, I got to get one.
Got some Speedos in there, too.
Oh, no, that's not my jam.
Okay, I just want to float that out there.
No, that's not my jam, but I respect it. But I definitely need to get that fit.
All right, it's comfortable. It's breathable.
It looks breathable. I like
good. Yeah,
I like that.
Look good, feel good, play good.
Yes, definitely.
So, Bo, you ready for the beer?
No. No, yeah, I'm ready. I think I'm a little concerned, though. I saw a giant vat of cheese balls over there.
I heard about that.
I did hear about that. Like a million cheese balls. What y'all doing with the cheese balls?
Well, I don't want to spoil the surprise, but I've heard that there's some items hidden within the tank of cheese balls that contestants need to find. It's going to get cheesy. It's going to be fun. And, that's the one that scares me the most. This obstacle course is also a little daunting. Last year, that thing was a pain in the cheeks, but it's going to be fun. It's a great day. It's beautiful out here. A lot of good people, so it'll be fun.
So, Bo, I heard about, what was it, the beer aquarium?
Yeah, the beer aquarium.
I didn't get a chance to see it, so could you paint a visual picture for me of the beer aquarium?
The beer aquarium is kind of my arch nemesis. There was 250-gallon tank of beer that was – you know, just kind of the brainchild of Jason and Travis. I don't really know how it came to be, but it was conquered yesterday. 250 gallons of garage beer was consumed at the OD yesterday, and as a result of that.
My man showed me pictures.
Yeah, it was a whole thing. Right,
that's
one of those ideas that I think it was a lot.
Oh, wow.
But it got drained, and we – you know, as a result of that, Kelsey had to donate $100,000 to the Eagles Autism, which is, you know, the end result was good. But
yeah, it's always the end result because it's about getting it back, man. And it seems like, to be honest, it seems like it's bigger now than it was the one we were here last year.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, with everybody in the bay, that's the bay, right?
Yeah.
Because, you know, I don't get in the water, Bo, so I don't have my water jargon down, but there's a lot of people here today.
I'm pretty nautical. I can help you out with the water jargon if you need, but we got a little boat flotilla coming in. Those are all the contestants.
That's the flow. You heard that, Kyle? Flotilla.
Yeah, I'm just kind of buzzwording you guys with some fun nautical language here. But we got a lot of good contestants. Every year it's kind of grown and changed a little bit, so it's fun to watch it develop.
The one thing I've noticed this year, you guys don't have a greasy pole. What happened to the greasy pole?
Greasy pole was a hazard. I slid down that thing on my belly like a seal, like a penguin, you know, talking about last year. And that was not the technique that people were supposed to use, but it was effective, and I got to the end. But, Yeah, that grease pole was a liability.
Slide down a greasy pole is like, you know.
Yeah.
If you can avoid that, you want to avoid that.
Yeah, it was fun, but man, that thing was dangerous.
So we've been trying to encourage Hugh to join you guys maybe next year. Give him the pitch.
You're a WIP team, you know.
Listen, if Hugh does it, I'll do it.
I'm not getting in the water, Bo. I'm not going to you. I don't like the water. I have thalassophobia.
Maybe if
the
you
fear
had
of murky water. Yeah. I have the fear of murky water.
If you had a Speedo on, I think you'd probably be more comfortable.
Bo, I'm not getting the Speedo, Bo.
I'm not going to stop trying, all right?
I'm not getting a Speedo, Bo.
Okay.
Not getting a Speedo.
We'll see.
It's like I got the thalassophobia. I'm afraid of like murky water.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I'm not a fan. But I enjoy the fact that you guys have come down here and it's a lot of his old teammates participate, a lot of the young guys participate. Because like you said, man, it is for a good cause.
Yeah, it's a great cause, and like you know how it goes. Any opportunity you have to see some of your old teammates,
it's buddies, fellowshipping.
Yep.
Exactly. Yeah.
It's always fellowshipping, man. Because we didn't play together, but we played defensive line.
Oh yeah.
Played for the Eagles with family, so it's always good to see family members.
Uh oh, sounds like
it's about to start.
Events are kicking off. Yeah.
Bo, thank you for hopping in.
Thanks
man.
For being here, guys.
There
appreciate it. It's a great cause, and let's have a fun day.
Bo yeah, Allen, former Eagle, with us here on the WIP Midday Show. 215-592-9494. All right. Yes, the festivities are beginning here, Hugh Douglas. He was really trying to sell you on those shorts.
Oh, no, I definitely need to meet the Chubby sponsor because I need that outfit, man. Hey, listen, I need to get a couple of them because that'll probably be my outfit attire for the whole summer.
You're good to go.
At the station.
I don't know about that. I mean, a little short.
No, I'm saying they say they could come in a little long. Bo advertising out here.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know what I mean?
Well, we appreciate him hopping on. All right, 215-592-9494. Before we get back to your calls in the Phillies, Hugh, I want to throw something out there that I've been thinking about for a while. And this kind of came up a few weeks ago during debate week. It was when I was debating with Elliot. But I heard something yesterday during the afternoon show. The Sixers a couple nights ago drafted point guard out of Alabama. And I think Filon's going to be a good player. And I think he has the kind of game that could become an NBA starting point guard down the line. Is he going to be good enough at this age right now to be a high-end point guard? Probably not. He's really young. He just got in the league. But I think that day is coming where he looks like he has that kind of ability to maybe lead a team as a starting point guard. But as you said, as soon as they drafted him and said yesterday,
point guards.
They have Tyrese Maxey. They have VJ Edgecombe. Listen to Kevin O'Connor yesterday, who was on the afternoon show. Listen to his breakdown of the draft pick. And then listen at the end how he explains why he's kind of wondering what the future is here in Philadelphia of this backcourt. All right, so at the end there, right? So you have Kevin O'Connor on the afternoon show yesterday giving his take on Filon, what kind of player he is, saying he had him high on his big board. But he said he worries about the fit with Tyrese Maxey long term. And that is a very fair question, right? Like the Sixers have two starting guards. They just drafted another one. So a couple weeks ago when I was debating with Elliot, my perspective was the Sixers should explore trading Tyrese Maxey. And I feel even stronger about that today. This morning, LaMelo Ball from the Hornets, right?
Yeah.
Got traded to the Timberwolves. LaMelo Ball has not been as good of a player in the NBA as Tyrese Maxey. They came out in the same draft.
Yeah, but
look at their careers. Maxey has been the better player. He has, and especially lately with an All NBA.
And then LaMelo he's had some other stuff.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So this morning, LaMelo Ball got traded for a good player, so a good NBA player, power forward Naz Reid. Three pick swaps, an unprotected first-round pick, and three second-round picks. It is my belief that Maxey's better, and if the Sixers put Maxey on the market, they could get probably four or five first-round picks for Tyrese Maxey. If this point guard is as good as everyone thinks he could be, the Sixers should absolutely consider trading Tyrese Maxey, because if they have to eventually, they'll get less as time goes on. Maxey will get more expensive. His value will not go up. It'll just go down as he gets more expensive. This is the moment to put him on the trade market to see what is out there. The Sixers aren't winning a title next year, regardless if they have Tyrese Maxey or not. Hugh, are you open to the idea of trading away Tyrese Maxey?
You know what? Before I answer that question, Joe, I see where you're going with this. And, you know, you're talking about where they both were drafted and what Tyrese Maxey has turned into thus far. But I always hear that with Tyrese Maxey, he's not going to win you a championship. So basically, you're saying if you decide to trade Tyrese Maxey right now, that you feel that Filon has a better upside or a bigger upside than Maxey.
Well, I mean, I think he has a similar. I guess to me, how do you get to from where they are to build a championship team? To me, Maxey is the thing to cash in.
Well,
Filon and Edgecombe are the same age.
Mm-hmm.
They could grow together, and they're both 21 years old. They've got the next 10 years, 5 to 10 years to grow.
Mm-hmm.
to me, Maxey's the best way to get the other stuff they need to put around these two other guys they've drafted the last 2 years.
I think you're on the right track, Joe, but it's a little bit premature. And I'm gonna say this because you're banking on Phylon being half of what Maxey is right now. That's what you're banking on. That's not a guarantee.
No, not a guarantee.
That's not a guarantee. Nope. And so you're basically gambling with the future of the Sixers. I would rather let this play out the way that it is. We still haven't reached free agency yet with the Sixers. And I know they can't make a whole lot of moves.
Yeah, right.
I know that, Joe. But they got to make some moves nonetheless. And I want to see what they look like on the court together. Because when you talk about the NBA, I forgot which team it was. They were talking about how many guards was on the floor for, I think it was San Antonio and all the I think it was all the guards they have there and everything. The NBA game is changing.
Sure.
And it's going to, smaller guys. Now, granted, both of these guys are a little bit smaller. When you talk about the guards for San Antonio,
well,
they're a lot bigger.
Yeah. And that's why Kevin O'Connor, I think, at the end was saying, can they really play together, him and Maxey?
Yeah,
because they're both small.
But we got to find out. And I think the beautiful thing about where the Sixers are right now, there's no pressure. Just find out.
Yeah.
You know, and we still have Joel Embiid, and we still have
– I mean, I guess.
No.
I guess. Well, great.
We still have Joel Embiid.
Great.
And we still have B-Ball Paul. So I would say – let's just see how it plays out.
Well, I think if we're being – that's probably what's going to happen, right? They're going to play this out for a year. But if we had thrown this out a year ago, no one would have been open to trading Tyrese Maxey. No one. When I had the debate week with Elliot, it was pretty overwhelming. People didn't want to do this. Well, they've now drafted another point guard. We had Elliot on yesterday, and I think he's coming around to the idea I debated him on a month ago, which was, this might be their best path. I am open to it. And I just think we're underestimating how much he could bring back. I mean, Mikal
Bridges. No, I hear you. I hear you.
The Knicks gave up 5 ones for Mikal Bridges. Mikal Bridges is good. He helped the Knicks win the title. But, I think a team might give up just as much for Maxey. Desmond Bane got 4 ones. LaMelo Ball got 6 picks and a player. Kyle, if someone's willing to give up that much for Tyrese Maxey, I think the Sixers have to listen to it.
I mean, I'd be open to it for the right return, because I'm with you. I'm not I'm not an immediate championship window here.
Yeah, I mean, come
looks
on.
Like they're getting a little younger. I would just be wary of, I'll throw this in here, last two draft picks that we had in the 20s, Maxey, Jared McCain. I think that's tainted our view of what kind of a quality of player we're getting
probably
at that point in the draft.
It's hard to get those players.
So
in.
I haven't seen this kid play at all. I don't think it's a slam dunk that he's good, that he's great, that he's the replacement for Maxey. So, I don't know if you're going to do it and you're going to get picks and you just want to build and try to add more pieces with VJ and stuff like that. I can be talked into it, but I'm not, 100% certain about this kid.
And I think they're probably not either, right? He was picked at 22, and there's a reason for that. But for the first time, I think the Sixers need to be open to him. You got to kind of canvas the league and see what's happening here. 215-592-9494. We'll throw that in the mix as well as we're live today at the Team 62 Beer Bowl, which has obviously begun here. Here you can hear it behind us.
Yeah, man, and it looks like Jason's having fun.
Yep.
And all the contestants are starting to come in, man. And we're going to get this thing started real soon. I see a couple contestants. They really need to put their shirt on, Joe.
Well,
why?
They're going in the water.
Swimming. They're big fellas. They look like they remember. Y'all probably don't remember this old group back in the day called the Fat Boys, right?
Okay.
They kind of look like the Fat Boys.
But if they're going in the water, why are they going to wear shirts?
I mean, because they need to cover that. I mean, anybody trying to see?
No,
anybody trying to see?
I mean, t-shirts in the water for grown-ups?
I mean, some people need to wear t-shirts in the water, and I would say that those two young individuals are contestants for t-shirts.
To me, once you're not a kid anymore, you don't got to do the t-shirt in the water. I mean, I can understand how that sometimes kids are a little self-conscious, but once you're an adult, I mean.
But both of them look like they're about 6 months pregnant.
Yeah, but okay, but obviously they're comfortable with their body.
Yeah, I mean, you know that there's that
too. You have to be comfortable in your own skin.
Yeah, that, you know there's that.
It's important.
And I shouldn't be fat shaming. I'm wrong for that.
You are.
You are. Yeah, you fat shamed him.
I'm sorry.
Okay.
That's big of you to apologize. We've really made strides here this morning.
Well, I apologize for fat shaming because that's not right.
No, okay. It's not.
And anything else, probably not. I'm probably not.
I like how you realize what you did within
seconds.
Yeah,
fat shame. Fat shame.
Did.
I'm sorry.
We'll move on. 215-592-9494. Back to the Phillies here. And the Tyrese Maxey thing. Is this Philly team starting to feel different to you? And Maxey, are you open at trading him?
No.
Close-minded over here. No, never.
Not right now.
How could we ever trade Tyrese Maxey for 5 first-round picks? That would be insane. Let's go to Jay in West Philly. Hey, Jay.
Hey, Hugh.
Hey, Hugh, yep.
What's up, Jay?
Hey, Hugh. What's going on, man?
How you doing, Jay?
Don't get too close to the water. You know the delegation, the water don't mix.
Yeah, the black folk delegation, we don't too much for
that. But
them.
I saw some delegation members in the water here.
No, not you saw them on a boat. You didn't see them in the water.
Well, okay.
Hugh, yeah.
Jay's talking to Hugh. He's talking to Hugh.
But Jay, you know, I know how to swim. I just don't like to swim.
Hey, Hugh, it don't mix. Us water and boats don't mix.
Yeah, I don't fool with that.
Hey, look. Now,
what you got?
How you feeling about the draft pick, Hugh?
You know what, Jay? I'm not gonna lie. Thyline, when I was like, man, we got three guards. We just had three guards,
yes,
and that was my first thought.
Well,
what you got?
What we got? He was a point guard because we ain't had no point guard.
That's
on
what.
The
that's what I. That's what why, I. You know what? That's what I was thinking. He's like a true point guard.
Yeah, exactly. That's why they traded Steph Curry last year. I mean, Jared McCain. That's why they traded him last year.
Because he wasn't a point guard. Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, and he wasn't a point guard. He's a two guard. We already got two guards starting right there. So that's why. So calm down. We'll be all right with that. Maxie will be gone in like a year or two.
You think he'll be gone in a year?
Yeah, gone in a year.
Oh, I got you. What's up, Jay?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know he knew you were on the show.
Yep.
Now, you the only clown, Max Paxton, that's getting excited for them beating the Washington Generals.
Mm-hmm.
Washington Generals.
They beat this team.
He went Globetrotters on you, didn't he?
The team that is averaging more runs than anybody in baseball.
You
yes.
Getting,
yeah.
You getting excited about them beating the Washington Generals?
Mm-hmm.
And even Kyle had a point there, which come once in the blue.
That's crazy.
That's how you know
this
it was
team is worse. This team is worse than last year.
I don't think
they are. They got more holes to fill. Nothing to give up. And you sitting there following behind it, you baseball clown. You really think they're going to win?
Yeah, I do. Well,
you
I mean,
really
I do. They're going to win in the regular season. I don't know what's going to happen
they
in
beat
October.
The Generals, you're getting excited.
Yes.
You know why?
You know what?
No,
because, Jay, it is fun to watch them win. It is fun to watch your team win. Why would I not be excited? That was an awesome win last night.
Was it in October?
No, Jay, it's June.
It can't count, Danny.
Well,
if you
love the sport, if you love the team, you're going to be into the games. Like, I'm not going to sit here and say, I'm just going to fold my arms until – get out of here. I mean, you're a clown. I'm going to sit here and fold my arms every day when they win games like that because it's not October.
Yeah, that's not fun.
No,
I mean, I'm going to sit back. And I'm going to enjoy the games, but you know the story has been the same the last three seasons when it comes to the playoffs.
I know, but I think you can see different things within a season. Like obviously the team's not markedly different, right? They have most of the same players.
Yeah.
That's the truth.
And so,
but you can kind of see things like I don't remember many games the last I'll say 2 years, 2 or 3 years that they won like that. That they can't. They've had three games this year, the Pittsburgh game on that Friday night. Two nights ago and last night. Three games that I just don't think the 2025 Phillies win. I don't think the 2024 Phillies win. They just – now, you could say make the case, but Hugh, they were better than those years, so maybe they were up in those games. They don't have those comebacks. That's fine. I just feel like I haven't seen wins like this in years from them.
No, and I get that, Joe, but it's one of those things where, you know, you look at it and they've done this before. Like, they've won games not like this, but they've won them before. But I can't even get it
we'll
out of my mouth.
Out.
Yeah.
You good?
But no, I'm saying, I can't even think about what I'm saying. No, the outcome has been the same over the past 3 years.
Yes,
there it is.
Yes.
I couldn't think about it because I caught a brain fart. But the outcome has been the same the last 3 years. Bats go cold at the worst times.
I'm trying to understand is like then is there nothing they can do until October for
it's,
you guys?
It's not that, Joe. It's because I know that's how it is. Is either you enjoy it now
or the October. Yeah, yeah.
It's not, but it's been the same. If we talk about the track record of the Phillies, it's been similar the last 3 years. They get a time they get hot. We talk about June Schwarber and some of the things they do, and they go into the playoffs. And you know what we do as fans, as we get close to the playoffs and the bats start to cool off, we pretend like we don't see it.
So that's fair, but we're not there yet. Right?
We're not.
And there is a line of demarcation this year. They've been the best team in baseball for 2 months since they fired their manager. That's why it reminds me of 2022, because they did that then. And then we were slow on the uptick because we were like, well, they can't be good. Well, they were. They got to the World Series. This thing, to me, feels different than in
years past. I'm enjoying it, though. I'm not going to lie. I'm enjoying it. I'm enjoying the run that they're on. And last night's game was phenomenal.
Yeah. Also, to Jay's Washington Generals point or whatever he's trying to do, like, I recognize the Nationals are not a great team. They have a bad bullpen. That team leads baseball in runs scored. You know, if you lead baseball in runs scored and we're in June, you're not bad anymore. Like, they might not be good yet. They might just be
But they're trending in the right direction.
Yeah, of course they are. Like, that's – if the Phillies win this game today, they have Sanchez on the mound tonight, and they take 3 out of 4 down there, that's a good series victory.
I'll take that.
I mean, they're not the pushover Nationals. You could see it just with their offense.
And even if they were, my coach would say, if they're bad, beat them because they're bad. That's
well,
you're
but you're
to.
The same guy who went on Carolina radio and said
you
the Eagles
did. Tomato tans, and I was not wrong.
Yeah, well, you are.
But wait, I just thought if they're bad, beat them because they're bad.
No, I'm just saying, but I wasn't wrong about them being tomato tans.
Well, no, you were. You were because you said that after they beat the Rams and the Commanders.
But tomato cans.
They weren't tomato cans.
Yeah, they kind of were.
Okay.
They put up a,
that
put
was
up
when
a
you became Benedict Arnold Douglas.
I mean, you just lied on the Eagles' name.
What are you talking about?
On Carolina radio.
No, I did.
And they ran right with it.
And we found it. And
yeah.
We did not
and
let
we,
that go.
And we hunted you down.
Yeah.
You make it sound so dramatic.
Well, it was.
You were hired from us, Douglas, and we found you.
You thought we couldn't hear you on Carolina radio?
You down.
You thought you had anonymity. You thought you had anonymity down there in Carolina.
None of that. Unbelievable.
No, we got you.
All right, 215-592-9494. That is how you hop aboard. All right, coming up on the other side, Ruben Amaro Jr. gave us, like, you know, we've been debating here, like, what's the Phillies' biggest need? You know, is it the bullpen? Is it the starting rotation? Is it the lineup? And I feel like every day we kind of re-rank these, you know, what do we want, what we think they should go get. Ruben had his take, updated take from Ruben Amaro on what they need the most. And you got to hear how he framed the offense, especially if they get going in October.
Oh, baby.
All right, that's coming up. We are live today from Team 62, the Beer Bowl. Everything here benefiting the Eagles Autism Foundation. You can go and donate on our social media pages at WIP. All right, coming up, all your phone calls in the Phillies. Does this team feel different? Are you now open? And should the Sixers now be open to trading Tyrese Maxey? I am. If this kid they drafted can really play and they have a starting point guard here, you know, down the line starting point guard, I didn't think cash Maxey in for an incredible haul to really jumpstart what is honestly needed to rebuild around Max, around Edgecombe and Filon. 215-592.
I can't get that out of my head.
I know, me neither. 215-592-9494. It is the Midday Show on Sports Radio 94 WIP. Welcome back. Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio. We are live today. CIL Team 62, the Beer Bowl, and all everything today and all of this is for the Eagles Autism Foundation, courtesy of Jason Kelsey. It is his Beer Bowl. And joining us, one of his guests today, one of our guests on the show, I think last time we had Dan Orlovsky on the show was right
was
before.
In New Orleans.
Yeah, in New Orleans for the Super Bowl.
I got Eagles beef with Chiefs. Dan Orlovsky.
Uh-oh. Dan, welcome back to the show. How are you, man?
Great to be back. I'm doing great. How are you?
Good.
I ain't good, Dan, because I've been, you know, I follow you on Twitter. You ain't following me back because I've been beefing with you. It's like some of your takes I have a problem with.
All right.
And I be sending you angry tweets, but you ignore all of them. I don't appreciate that. I don't appreciate being
Is that
ignored.
The beef?
Yes.
Oh, man, I thought it was real.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's a weak
beef. Wait, wait a minute, what are you talking about?
I thought there was something like...
Oh, you thought I was angry for real?
Yeah, like, no. And I was looking forward to that. All right, I'll follow you back on Twitter, honestly. Sometimes...
You said you're looking for... Oh, you want this smoke, huh? You're looking forward to this.
I like arguing.
Is
I like
right?
conflict. I love conflict. I don't have any in my with my wife and marriage, so I love to argue.
Come to the right place.
Yeah. I love to argue.
Welcome to WIP. That's all we do.
All right, I'm going to follow you back. You have my word.
Okay, since you want to argue, I got an argument for you
yes.
that we have all the time unsolicited.
Okay.
What is your take on Jalen Hurts? Your honest take.
I think I've said the facts and the opinions just don't match up. The mm-hmm. fact is, since he's become the starter, obviously two Super Bowls, win one, probably the best player in both of those games. I think he's top five or top seven in mainly all the statistical categories.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that. That's the facts.
Mm-hmm.
But the opinion is, or the opinion of a lot, I would probably in this camp is, that there are times when the passing game and the pass element is lacking.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's a very interesting kind of balance is if we were going to take Jalen with all 32 starting quarterbacks and just put him on a field and just had him throw, which is the basic premise of the position, mm-hmm. he wouldn't be in your top 16. I don't think he would be in a lot of people's top 16. But all he's done is win. All he's done is play huge in big moments. And so, like, the my take on him is, I got asked this yesterday, I think it's silly to not have him as a top 10 player at the position because of the accomplishments.
Yeah, so I guess because when we get caught at, we talk, when we talk about Jalen, a lot of times we say he just wins. And I think that for you know, don't want to Ryan Clark anybody, but for a lot of people that don't understand that, that is one of the most important things and one of the most important attributes to have at a quarterback. So that's where I think it's tough for people to kind of categorize Jalen, because
sure,
you don't see the arm strength, you don't see the certain type of statuesque play that you get from other quarterbacks.
Yeah, you don't see a lot of, like, the wow plays, you know, the at times bordering on the careless versus reckless versus aggressive stuff that we see from Patrick's and Josh and Lamar and Herbert's and guys like that. He doesn't lose. I think that's the thing that for me is, like, he often does the stuff to not lose games, not give games away. You know about that in the league. And it's a great quality, but it's a quality that people don't fall in love with.
I got another question for you, because this one caused a lot of trepidation on our show a couple days ago too. Is winning a quarterback stat?
I love the question.
I don't think so, no. I think that we can't call it the greatest team sport ever played and then pin the end result on one player. I think winning, the way I would phrase it is, wins, the quarterback impacts wins or losses more than any professional position in professional sports. Mm-hmm. And so you have to attribute wins and losses greater to quarterbacks more often than not, but I don't think it's a stat, no, because I've seen quarterbacks just play unbelievable football and lose.
And then the opposite, right, where they play poorly, and then they can still win the game.
100%. Yeah. 100%.
It happens a lot.
But really good quarterbacks over the course of time win. Like, mm-hmm. That is a reality.
Yep.
But
yeah,
in singular moments, I think that's probably too small of a thought.
So we've debated Jalen from the minute he took over, and it's been a lot of success. Right? It's been way more good than bad, obviously, with Jalen Hurts here in Philadelphia. Now the question is, moving forward, how does he play, right?
Sure.
And in this new offense, how do you think he fits in a Sean Mannion kind of scheme? And the one question I have, and I'm just curious your perspective playing the position. To me, when I watch Jalen, he one of the things, it's kind of his tendency, but it's also been a strength, is he holds the ball, right?
Sure.
He doesn't get the ball out quickly. This offense, when you watch it around the league, it's more of get the ball out quickly. Is that something you think he can change, or will that tendency be hard to break?
All right, I'll answer the second one first. The get the ball out quickly element. One, Jalen does not have a twitchy release. He'll never get the ball out quickly. He's not that type of player. Catch and throw is not a strength of his. It's not a sudden, like, almost like a Mayweather type of jab. I don't think this offense is one that the RPO element, kicking the ball to the perimeter, he'll be fine with. That's not like a you got to get it out now type of thing. I think this offense predicates it on holding it a little bit more because the play-action game. To answer the first question, people don't like the answer. I'm not betting against them. The Jalen Hurts that we have seen play does not fit seamlessly into this offense. He doesn't. The fundamental parts of this offense. One, put the quarterback under center. Jalen doesn't do that a ton. I think he's capable of it, but he doesn't do it a ton. Two, turn your back to the defense. Three, play-action game. Four, throw the ball up the middle field. Those just aren't things that we've seen him major in. I doubted him when he took over. I'm not going to doubt him again. But it is going to be a very different experience for him. And I've said this. What he's like in November in this offense will be very, very different than what he's like in September.
That's interesting that you say it like that, because as a defender, when you look at the quarterback and he does certain things like that, what is it the hardest thing to do when you go on the center and you turn your back to the defense? Is it just the reading of the defense? Is how it changes when your back is turned?
Yeah, it's a great question. So, one, I'll start with this. The timing of the pass game is totally different.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the play-action games are like 7 or 8-step drops. Now, people think 8-step drop, how can that happen? Because you're often turning to your left, and so there's an extra step involved. So just getting the timing of that drop is huge. The location of where you are in the pocket, that's not often shotgun, catch the ball, and I'm just behind the center in between the two guards. He'll be behind the guard. He'll be behind the tackle at times. So, like, the location of where he's making those throws is going to be very different.
You know what? When you say that, so what I'm understanding is it depends, like, when you're in the pocket, because you see a lot of guys, they might drop, and they might drop to the left, or they might drop to the right. So what you're basically saying is it depends on where he's at in the pocket, that it depends on where the ball is going?
Oh, 100%. Yeah, I mean, so –
that's a lot.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's just a very different experience. Now you do that offensively to change the launch point, open up passing lanes.
Yeah.
So that's the fundamental difference. And then, like, when it comes to the hardest part, there's an easy part to it as well for a quarterback. Sometimes, you know, when I grew up with Gary Kubiak and Kyle Shanahan and LaFleur and McVay, there's a beauty of, like, just getting the ball, turning your back to the defense. I don't need to know the defense at times because I'm just turning my back. I'm making a ball fake, and I'm looking for an area. I'm just trying to find an area. I'm not trying to find a person. And so once I find that area, then I'm trying to see a color, you know. If
the right color.
Yes, correct. So there's a beauty in that as well. But then there's also times where you turn your back to the defense and you think it's one thing, and the defense changes. Or you lose sight of a guy. And defenders are smart. They're prepared as well, so they're baiting you, they're lying to you. Defenders, you'll see defenders turn with their back to the quarterback, like, oh, I'm running deep, and then all of a sudden, nope, here I'm looking to cross, or I stop, and there's that pick, you know. And so, you know, with a quarterback that doesn't turn his back to the defense, you always can see where everyone is. They can't really lie to you that much. Mm-hmm. Turning your back to the defense, you'll get lied to a lot, and it'll take time to adjust to.
I got another question. When we look at this, you know, A.J. Brown in New England, he's with, you know, McDaniel and an offense that Drake May is somewhat familiar with.
Sure.
And they're just integrating him.
Yep.
And you have Jalen that's learning this whole new offense. So with that being said, all of that information, the first 4 weeks of the season, who has
A.J.?
And why is that?
Well, A.J., one, New England's got matchup nightmares right now, especially if they keep Kayshon Boutte. Now, there's rumors he'll get traded, but we'll see. But there's only going to be so many people that they have to cover New England. And they've got five or six deep now at the pass-catching group. So A.J.'s going to have some one-on-one matchups. That's just going to be reality. Young quarterback that's in a second-year system, I think it's easier for a receiver to go out and say, stand there 2 yards outside the numbers and run a 10-yard stop route. And if it's man-to-man, just whoop your guy. I just think Jalen, and you're also, if you're the Eagles and you're Jalen, you're going to be banking on two rookies playing really important snaps. And again, that's why I think November will be very different than September, because with Mekhi and Eli, I do think that they're going to be really good players, but I think it's going to be something.
It's going to grow in pace.
Yeah, I don't expect September for them to come on and light it up, but I do think they're going to be really good players as the season goes on.
Dan Orlovsky with us here. We're live at the Team 62 Beer Bowl and see how. Dan, how good do you think Devontae Smith is? It's one of those guys we've watched for years. He's obviously really good. But he's had A.J. with him, right, for all these years. So it's like, is he a 2? Is he a 1A? And can he be a true number 1? How good do you think Devontae is?
I think he's Justin Jefferson-like. And I know that those are heavy and big words. And I think Justin is sensational. But when you watch those players run routes, they run very similar. Stride length is exceptional. The way that they use the different pace in their route to open themselves up, the length that they play with over the field, the ability to go make those 50-50 contested, just aggressive balls down the field. They can run any route tree at any capability. And I think that you're going to see Devontae play to a similar style that Justin does. Justin gets moved all over the place, is constantly in motion. They're doing everything they can to get him free releases. Why are you doing that? Because the route running is a strength. And so I think he's a 1. I don't think that there's any debate if he's a 1. Will he get into that top 5, top 7 receiver conversation? That'll be attached to how good Sean is, how good Jalen plays. But I think he's very Justin Jefferson-like with the style of play.
Well, that's a big one. I mean, I'll take that comp, and I'm going to use that all summer. As
but
we talk
if
about
you think about Justin, you're long, rangy, lanky, you know, the ability to go pluck the ball out of the air. I think Devontae has those traits.
Yep. All right, so tell us about the beer bowl here, what we got going on. You were at Ocean Drive yesterday.
Yeah,
how was that?
What a scene, man. I had no idea. Jason and the Eagles Foundation, Eagles Autism Foundation, were just like, hey, will you come down? I was like, sure. I had no idea what we were getting ourselves into. It was insane in the best ways. You know, it was one of the another moment where you sit there and be like, I get why these people are the way that they are. You know, it's like they love the Eagles,
like that,
man.
It don't sound.
No, when it's good,
yeah,
I would imagine it's the best.
Of course.
And when it's bad, you're like, holy fudge, dude. People are paying more money for a selfie, and I'm not an Eagle, a selfie than they were drinks. I had a woman offer me $500 for my hat. So it was intense. So much fun. Flew by. I think they raised a ton of cash. And then today, I literally have no idea what we're doing.
Well, are you ready? I mean, you can look down at the water there. I mean,
from what I know, I've been asked, I'm going to throw footballs at people to try to knock them off that
floor. That, you can do that.
I hope so.
Yeah, I mean,
it sounds good until you miss 14 throws and everyone's like, you suck. So,
but we're used to it. So if you be here long enough, you'll get used to it.
Yeah. But it's awesome, man. What a cool event.
And it goes to a great cause, the Eagles Autism Foundation. You can go donate on our social media pages. Dan, we appreciate giving us a few minutes. Enjoy the rest of your summer, and we'll talk soon.
My pleasure.
And the beef is over now.
Yeah,
right?
Man.
The beef is over.
We really didn't have no beef, Dan.
When a guy that you respect so much and physically intimidated goes, I got beef with you, it's like, all right, here we go.
No, I didn't have beef.
Here we go.
You
got to
follow.
But you stayed. I mean, you could have walked away. You stayed.
No. I like that.
Can
I share a quick Jalen story with you guys real quick?
Of course.
Okay, so a couple weekends ago at the Eagles Autism Foundation golf event at Marion, my son, they honored my son. And so Jalen came. We have never met Jalen. I have never met Jalen. And my son and Jalen are talking. Jalen was sensational with my son. And my son says, Jalen, I made a comic book about you, like a comic book about you. And Jalen, and I'm 4 or 5 feet from Jalen, kind of just behind my son. And Jalen goes, huh, really? And my son goes, yeah. And Jalen goes, well, if I'm good enough to make it in your comic book, and he looks me dead in the eyes and goes, that means your dad's got to be nicer to me on TV from now on.
He was dead ass.
Dead in my eyes. And I looked at him, I go, well played.
That's a good one. That is a great story. And it doesn't surprise me. He was,
he hears everything.
Generous to your son.
Oh, he was unbelievable. He was unbelievable, man. So he spent 10 minutes with my son.
That's
talking.
Awesome.
But it was a great, great. And I was like, tip of the hat. Well done.
You're going to have that in the back of your head during first back there?
Uh-oh. Yeah, it puts me in a unique situation. Yeah.
I'm sure it does. Thank you, Dan. Dan Orlovsky with us here on the WIP Midday Show. 215-592-9494. That is how you hop aboard there. All right, Hugh, that was an interesting conversation. And the beef is squelched now.
No, I was no beef, man.
Beef.
I just wanted to get followed.
You
know what it is? I listen to Dan, and he does a great job on ESPN. Now, sometimes he says stuff, and I'll send him angry tweets. I'll send him
like everybody else.
Yeah, I'll send him some angry
tweets. That's why he does respond. He gets out of
hundreds. Yeah, he said mean and hurtful. And I was like, yo, you need to respond to this one. So, no, but I like his insight, man, because – here's the beautiful thing about it. We don't always agree, but you respect where he's coming from because he played the position.
Of course, yeah.
And then when he started talking about how you turn your back to the defense, it just – like when you hear that, it just adds another layer of questions. And then you realize how difficult it is to play that position.
Yep.
That's why – you know, and I was also kind of going here. That's why when you have one that can win football games in the fashion that he's winning, you take it. And you try to build around all the other stuff, but the bottom line is, buddy's winning, you know?
You didn't get the response you wanted from a quarterback.
I know.
What do you mean?
It's a W for me.
He said they're not a QB.
You know what?
He's
a QB. You know what Dad did? You know what Dad did?
W.
He long talked his way into saying that W's our quarterback stats.
He did not.
He did do that.
No, he did not.
He didn't want to say it flat out.
Nope.
Because he was talking about all the other intangibles that go
on in the
game.
I'm pretty sure the first words out of his mouth when he asked them were no.
Now, he said, well, let me say it. And then he said, let me say it like this. And he basically got back to the basic premise that it is.
Are you really trying to spin this?
No, that's what he said.
Actually, I mean, you got
the way he explained it.
He was playing TV.
No,
he wasn't playing radio.
Not even on TV.
Playing TV.
Well, I guess YouTube. Nope. But the way he explained it, I agree with that. Like, of all the positions in sports, it's the one that is the most heavily towards wins and losses.
Yeah, but
I can't go there.
He basically, you know, he doubled that. He basically,
you are amazing.
You're
you're
twisting yourself.
Do you agree with me? No, and then he twisted it together.
Real quick, we have a Flyers trade.
Okay,
Garnet Hathaway to the Florida Panthers. So, I'm actually a little surprised they were even able to offload him. I'm assuming it's because we retained 50% of his salary, but we got some late picks for him, and we sent a pick back.
So, retaining the salary is almost like eating
50%,
money?
It's not that much.
Yeah, so they're paying half his salary to get him.
Yeah, okay. Probably a better fit in Florida. I mean, they're assembling like the big – they're like Broad Street Bullies 2.0 with the Tkachuk brothers and Hathaway, who's just like – it's Goon Central over there. But, I mean, solid move. Just now it kind of – gives you room to let some of the young guys
okay.
come up.
All right, well, that's an interesting trade. All right, so late-round picks, you said?
Yeah.
Draft tomorrow night?
Specifically, We got a 2026 fifth, 2027 fourth, and we sent our 2026 sixth.
Draft tomorrow night, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I know there's a puck. I think there's a puck it up party with Broads. One other thing, and we got a lot to talk about here. 215-592-9494. We're at the Beer Bowl, Team 62 in Sea Isle. You know, I thought it was interesting just hearing his Dan's perspective on the nuances of what Jalen has to do in this new system.
Yes.
And he mentioned something I thought kind of subtle, but I wonder how much they're going to incorporate. So he was talking about the different parts of this offense, right? And he said, because the Packers did some of the RPO stuff where Jordan Love would roll out.
Mm-hmm.
He said Jalen will do that just fine. Like, I wonder if the Eagles will try to incorporate more early that he's done. You know what I mean? Like, more he's incorporated. He's
that
done.
Makes sense. Yeah,
he has experience.
Trying to get off to a fast start,
and then maybe go heavier towards the newer stuff later. Because he did basically say the stuff that Jalen's experienced with, he'll do that fine. The other stuff that could take time.
I think in order to make this transition as easy as possible, Joe, you kind of got to jump into the deep end. I mean, you want to win games.
I know
you want to win games.
You got to want to win games, right?
But you can't get. I feel like you're in a situation where, and hear me out a little bit. You've been so comfortable doing what makes you comfortable,
right?
That you have to do the stuff that makes you uncomfortable, so that it becomes comfortable.
No, I in practice and installing
but,
it. I'm
but
sure,
you got
but like
gotta
third and
set,
third and six,
but
game
gotta,
on the line against Washington.
You got to be able to do it in the game, Joe. You have to be able to do it.
Kind of want
to
do what he's good
but,
at.
But see, here's the thing, Joe. You can't ask for $60 million more dollars.
Well, I'm not asking.
I'm just saying.
I can't ask for 60
yeah,
more
just
million.
In this hypothetical, I mean, this hypothetical situation.
It's radio. What are we doing?
You can't ask for $60 million more dollars, and just do what makes you comfortable. You have to be able to expand your portfolio.
No, I get that.
You know what I mean? So you have to. Like, this is what we talk about when we talk about Jalen. He's a winner. He adapts well. Okay. Well, you have to adapt. So in those moments when you're instead of doing the bread and butter thing, because guess who else know you're going to want to do the bread and butter?
Well, the Commanders.
Robert Saleh.
Yeah, and then the Titans.
Robert Saleh wants
the
to, knows you
Bears
wants to go
and
with the
Rams.
Bread.
Yeah. I know, I get it.
So you have to do – you have to be unpredictable in that moment.
I guess – yeah, you're right, and I understand. I guess for me, just hearing that there is some of the offense that does kind of fit Jalen, like how much of that will we see versus the stuff that is more brand new and more he's going
to
need time?
It has
time.
To be the brand new stuff, Joe, because, like I honestly believe that they've scouted you to the point – where I think back to what Robert Saleh said. He said they ran that play 3 years ago and they knew it. You know what I mean? The four verts.
That was the biggest indictment on the old offense.
So you can't – like, you can't be the same. Even if it makes you comfortable, you have to be comfortable in the new system in order to throw that monkey wrench in it for somebody else.
That was a cool story he told at the end about Jalen with his son, which I'm not surprised at all. Jalen will be great to his son. But, like, hey, I hear you on TV.
Well, I mean – just another instance of Jalen paying attention to what people
well,
are saying.
Well, that story's been out there this offseason.
That's what kind of jumped out.
Well, and obviously Dan is on ESPN, right? Like, he's on First Take and stuff. So that stuff,
it's
probably in their locker room. It's on TV. So he sees all that stuff. All right, 215-592-9494. That is how you hopper. We're at Team 62, the Beer Bowl, which is about to get going here with everyone in the obstacle course in the water. Hugh, have you reconsidered your position on participating?
Get in the water.
Okay, just asking.
Checking every half hour.
Yes, just to see if your fear has gone away. All right, on the other side, we'll get to a couple things. We did tease something that we wanted to bring up. Ruben Amaro said about the Phillies and their biggest need right now and how he framed it. Plus, a former Eagle, Hugh Douglas's guy, took a shot. I mean, a direct shot at all of us and the Eagles yesterday. We can't ignore this.
You know, Hugh needs to officially denounce it.
I agree. You need to just, I mean, you need to slam this guy. So that's coming up next. Your phone calls. Are you open to trading Tyrese Maxey after the draft pick of Filon to basically play the same position? And
Filon.
The Phillies. Are you starting to believe this team this year is different? I am. It is the Midday Show right here on Sports Radio 94 WIP.